The opinions expressed on this program are those of the hosts and their guests, and not of Blue Sky Broadcasting.
Hey everybody, welcome in. It's Tuesday. This is Speak Up. My name is Barbara, and here we go. We are continuing in our focused programming with opposing candidates live and in-depth. Today we're talking with Republican candidate Ron Korn and independent Glenn LaFay. They are on your November ballot, November 5th, coming up for Bonner County Commissioner District 3. And just to be clear, all Bonner County residents vote, whether you live in District 3 or not. They're the only ones that we have them come from a particular district, so we get representation over the county. But all residents get to vote for all county commissioners. So I give our candidates the same questions, and we do our best with the candidates' help to keep the time pretty equal. So, all right, all that. We're going to take our first break right now.
The Hydra on 2nd and Lake is Sandpoint's original steakhouse. Stop in today for lunch or dinner.
Join Hydra Steakhouse on Friday to help raise funds for our server, Michaela Mayab. Michaela got surprised with some unforeseen heavy medical bills when she had complications during the birth of her new baby girl. Our restaurant will match donations made in Michaela's name. The Hydra Steakhouse, this Friday in Sandpoint.
Come on back to the Hydra for lunch or dinner today. The Hydra, 2nd and Lake in Sandpoint.
Hi, this is Marv Hagedorn. I'm a proud Republican and was a conservative member of the Idaho House and Senate for 12 years before running Idaho's Division of Veteran Services. More importantly, I'm a veteran having served 20 years in the U.S. Navy. There's been a lot of talk lately about Idaho values. I think you'd agree one of the values most Idahoans share is our love of country and support for those who have served in the military. Did you know that almost half of Idaho's veterans are unaffiliated with any political party? Since 2012, Idaho has had closed primaries, which means thousands of Idaho veterans have no voice in our primary system. That's why I'm a founding member of Veterans for Idaho Voters and support the Open Primaries Initiative. This isn't a partisan issue. This is a patriotic issue. I'm voting yes on Proposition 1 this November. On behalf of Veterans for Idaho Voters, I ask you to join me in voting yes on Prop 1.
This message paid for by Veterans for Idaho Voters.
Happy birthday to us. This is Jody for Sandpoint Furniture, and this time I'm not here to talk about mattresses. It's our anniversary sale going on now through the end of October. Save big on all living room, bedroom, dining room sets, mattresses, and recliners. Look for the bright red tags on items that are drastically reduced for quick sale. Replace that old carpet or update your floor with new hardwood or LVP. Now is the perfect time to shop the latest styles and trends while enjoying anniversary sale pricing. We're offering cash discounts or zero interest financing. Sandpoint Furniture since 1945.
Keep the heat in and the cold out this winter. Plus, protect your flooring and furniture from damaging UV rays with stylish and efficient window coverings from Pro-X Home Decor Center. Pro-X is now offering a full range of blinds, including Venetian, wood, faux wood, cellular, and pleated. Plus, save money on energy costs with honeycomb insulating fabrics. They also offer cordless or motorized lifts for those hard-to-reach windows. Stop in and get a free quote today. Pro-X Home Decor Center, your hometown everything store.
Flo here from Progressive to tell you how you get more than great savings with us. You get customer service access through our mobile app, online chat, or by phone.
That's a lot of ways I can get in touch with you. I see what's going on here. You can't name favors, but I'm your number one customer.
Actually, we offer all our customers these ways to contact us.
Uh-huh. I'm sure you give just any customer your personal...
company.
...contact info.
Well, you did call us more than any other customer this year. So in that sense, you are our number one customer.
Get help from Progressive through the website, app, chat, or phone. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
News Talk 97.1, KSPT, KBFI.
Hey everybody, welcome back in. Join me now, say hello to County Commissioner candidate Ron Korn and Glenn LaFay. They are here to get your vote and be a county commissioner right here in Bonner County. Glenn, we're going to start with you. Please introduce yourself to the audience.
Hi, everybody. I'm Glenn LaFay. Thank you, Barbara, by the way. I'm Glenn LaFay. I'm running for county commissioner, District 3. I've lived here for 58 years, give or take a few years. That's about a full life right there for you. I'm a generational North Idahoan. My father's family is four generations ahead of me, and on my grandmother's side, it's a five-generation family. I've worked in the service industry in Bonner County for most of my life. I've also worked in the service industry. I've worked in the woods. I've worked in agriculture. So I've done what I can to kind of survive in Bonner County. So I got a good idea what the needs of Bonner County are. I'm currently at North 40. I've been there for the last several years and putting in those solid 40 hours of work a week. And with that position and with my position throughout the county, I get a good idea what these people, what the people of Bonner County are about. I get to deal with and talk to a full wide spectrum of political spectrum to social, and you know, I get a huge group of people that come walking through there, and so I hear a lot about what people want in Bonner County. I care deeply about our natural resources and access to our public lands. I'd like to maintain those public lands. I'm a nonpartisan. I represent everyone in this county, regardless of political affiliations. And I don't see the BOCC as a partisan position. There's a job to get done, and we maintain public safety, fix and maintain the roads, culverts, planning, etc. Local elections have the biggest impact on, I feel, on local people and our lives, and a local vote actually makes quite a difference. So that's me in a nutshell.
All right. Glenn LaFay, thank you very much. Ron Korn, introduce yourself to the audience.
Good afternoon. My name's Ron Korn. I'm running for Bonner County Commissioner District 3. I've been here about 27 years with my wife and have had three kids born here and raised here. I come with a background of self-employment for most of my life, so I understand budgets. I understand how to make things work when things get tight. So I've kind of learned to live. I've been appointed as the commissioner here for the last 3 weeks, and there's a lot of work that needs to be done. We're actually currently undertaking some measures to cut down on expenses, frivolous spending. So I'm glad to see that. I look around on your wall here, Barbara, and I see a picture of your Longbridge swim 2007, and I just had to laugh because I see some people up there on orange shirts. I'm probably in that picture with when I was volunteering with the Bonner County Sheriff Search and Rescue Group. For about the last 25, 26 years, I've dedicated my time here to volunteer service, helping the community. Over 20-plus years with the Search and Rescue Group, saving the Independence Day back in 2020 when COVID shut it down. That was a huge thing. And that's what really helped me get my name out there, was that Independence Day celebration that we did. And one of the things that I can do is I build bridges. I don't build walls. I bring people together. And I think the people in the community have seen that in the last 25 years of helping the community when in need, whether it be emergency response or even just as simple as saving our Independence Day. I've always had that knack for listening to people and trying to figure out solutions to problems, if you will. And the 3 weeks that I've been in office so far, I've really enjoyed being in that office. It is a natural fit for me. I am a problem solver, and I just seem to walk right into it. And it's a great feeling dealing with the department heads and a lot of their elected officials and all that. I feel great about being in Bonner County. I've got a lot of hope, whereas I might not have had as much hope a couple of years ago. So part of that hope, I want to bring out and show the people of Bonner County what is actually going on with our county government. because it's not exposed.
All right. Thank you for that, Ron. I'm going to keep it with you, and you may have already touched on it, but tell our audience your number one reason for running for Bonner Committee. I know there are many, but try to just pick out one of the top ones you're passionate about.
Very simply is restoring liberty and freedom to the citizens of Bonner County. I can't say it any simpler than that. What got me into this was I'm looking back when I first moved here, and there were no building location permits. There were no permissions needed for a property owner to build a shop, build a woodshed, or even build their own house. You could build your own house without asking your government permission. Now that I have 3 grown kids and they're down dealing with the housing crisis and everything else, I kind of took a step back and I realized that my kids are not enjoying the same liberties and the same freedoms that my wife and I got to enjoy just 26 years ago. It wasn't that long ago. So my main passion is to restoring liberty and freedoms for all of the citizens of Bonner County. I started it selfishly for my kids, but if my kids benefit, your kids benefit, everybody benefits.
All right, thank you. The same question, Glenn LaFay, to you. What's your number one reason for seeking Bonner County Commissioner seat?
Growth and land use, basically. That's where I'm at. I don't think that the previous commissions have been following the planning and zoning laws of our comp plan. Our comp plan essentially is the constitution for our regulations as far as land use. Idaho land use law and planning and zoning are legal tools that our counties use, and I think it's been taken advantage of. Spot zoning has been an issue, allowing commercial operations in the middle of an ag timber and dense residential in the middle of an ag timber. Just doesn't make sense to me. And our planning and zoning laws are not heavy-handed. I do agree with Ron that you shouldn't have to have a permit to like build a chicken coop or a deck or something on your own property. But when it comes to the community that's surrounding your property, we got to stop rubber stamping development. People are coming into this area wanting an ag timber kind of rural lifestyle. And then when someone else comes in and buys up, you know, a 20 acre lot and wants to split it up and punch in some roads, it destroys that serenity and peacefulness that this neighbor had bought. So it's all about land use for me and comp plan.
All right. Well, you've led me into my next question. Maybe you listened to my last discussion with the other county commissioner candidates, but planning and zoning is on my list. So you've introduced generally speaking. Give me, if you would, Glenn, a specific example where you believe Bonner County Planning and Zoning and then by vote commissioners have misused or misapplied the planning and zoning.
I would see right off the top of my head, I think Camp Bay is a situation that we have that there are a couple situations there where it wasn't zoned for that and also given up that road. I mean, the county spent $800,000 on a road that was turned over to a public entity or a developer. You know, so that is ridiculous to me. I mean, the county should not have done that. They should have pulled the brakes on that and not let that happen. So that's a specific issue right there. And that is a huge issue for many people in this county. That's been an issue for a lot. And that's a rubber stamp. There's a lot of money. And it's back in the forefront. Once again, we're going through this situation again with that developer. And trying to follow what the people want.
All right, same question, Ron Korn, to you. An issue that you see in planning and zoning, what's your take as a sitting commissioner right now on planning and zoning?
So we're actually trying to finalize and finish up the whole Camp Bay issue. I don't agree with the way it was done. It was a previous board that did it. So now we have to deal with the repercussions. We cannot go back. It's already a done deal. That road has been vacated, it's been paved, it's been gated. The agreement was that they were going to give us, the county, a walking path and access to the beach. And that has always been disputed too, because even in the court hearings, it was never really found that if that Camp Bay Road actually went to the waterfront or if there was a 50-foot section of property that separated the waterfront from Camp Bay Road. So the county at that time, what I'm being told is that they felt that it was a good accomplishment to get a deeded access to the waterfront versus one that they weren't sure if they could actually uphold or not. I don't agree with it. I want to be very clear. I went out and walked the trail a couple of days ago to inspect it. I think that the trail could have been done a lot better, especially we're talking a multi-million dollar development. I could have built that trail that they did in probably a week with a skid steer. But it suffices the terms of the agreement, if you will. So the county doesn't have much of a leg to stand on at this time because there weren't enough things put into the agreement as to what the county wanted. It does qualify to...
Let me ask you a question, Ron, and the same one to you, Glenn, real quick. What is one solution you can think of that this issue with Camp Bay and maybe even the Sagal dirt bike thing won't happen again? What is the single thing as a commissioner you could do? And well, Ron, we'll start with you and then Glenn.
Thank you, Barbara. So you bring up the Sagal Bike Park. That actually went through a couple of different hearings, public hearing examiners, and she decided that it would be a good idea to put conditional uses on it. They had to apply for a conditional use permit in order to do what they were doing on that property during that zoning. In my opinion, that property should have been zoned commercial with such a high traffic area, but they actually decided to put limits on it. They were wanting 150 vehicles a day. The hearing examiner limited down to 60 or whatever it was. It was a lower number. And the reason to that was to lower the impact of the neighbors that all of those 160 cars were going to drive past every day.
So are you saying rather than rezoning, conditional use permit is one of the ways that
It's a loophole. The conditional use permit is a loophole around because they were able to claim that they were a resort. And under resort, under current...
And you don't agree with that?
No. When you have 160 cars, when you're building a business with 160 cars per day that are going to be visiting your property, that needs to be zoned commercial.
Okay. Same question to you, Glenn. We've heard the problems, Camp Bay, Sagal. What is a solution you see?
Stick to the comp plan. Simple. Whatever it's zoned, that's what it's zoned. I mean, everybody has a right to apply for a different zoning, but it doesn't necessarily mean you're going to get it. And that was the case for that bike park, for example. I mean, it was even adding CUPs and stuff like that. And the rezones and the comp plan amendments I'm totally opposed to it. That was ridiculous. I mean, and with the amount of people that were at those meetings, it was an overwhelming voice of the people not wanting this to go in. It wasn't just the neighbors. This was a good significant part of the county that came into these meetings and expressed their views, and it was poo-pooed by the past commission. So I'd like to see just sticking to the comp plan, I think, is the answer there.
Okay. I'm going to change the topic, if I may. Fiscal responsibility, everybody talks about it, but the details and how to actually do it can be elusive. So keeping it with you, Glenn, what are some of your ideas for better fiscal responsibility? What does it mean to you, fiscal responsibility?
Well, being able to use the money that we have and hopefully save a little bit of change as well.
And then how?
Well, sticking to the plan. Again, it goes back to the comp plan. If we follow the comp plan, we eliminate a lot of the issues that come up. For example, we're not considering the resources and infrastructure when, like, an MLD is accepted. What happens is this developer goes in there and develops this property and then wipes their hands of it. They're out of there. So now you have an issue for these landowners or these home buyers that go in there that consider themselves, we're in North Idaho. We love this. Then all of a sudden they realize the county doesn't access that road. We don't maintain that road. Say there's a culvert that washes out or a road that deteriorates or something like that. That is now left up to the home buyer. And then they come to the county expecting a little bit of help. The county's hands are tied to a certain extent. So that leads to a couple different situations where there could be litigation. I mean, and that's another issue.
I just want to say real quick, Ron, and then to you, if we're staying with the plan, that seems to be the plan, to let the developer just do this minimal and not have to do infrastructure or get fire or police or culverts or whatever up to where it should be before the development is finished.
I'm talking about the road structures and the septic,
so
and things
the plan
like that.
Has not asked developers to do that. Okay,
no, it has
so
not.
Staying with the plan isn't.
Yeah.
It's like improving.
I see what you're saying.
Improving the plan.
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
For that.
Yes.
Good. Ron, same question to you.
So I think you started off with a fiscal question.
Fiscal responsibility.
Somehow we got into
the
comp plan again. But
planning,
what was the question
and zoning
again?
Is on his heart. What is fiscal responsibility in your definition? How can the county better achieve it?
Okay, so great question. I would like to kind of bounce back to his introduction there. He said that the BOCC is not a partisan position. The best way to keep fiscal responsibility in government is to make sure that you have conservatives elected into office that are going to spend your money wisely. There's been problems and issues that we're addressing actually as of today with credit card expenses internally, that there are people that have credit cards, not necessarily department heads, but people within the departments, and they're spending. It could be said that the spending is going on without approval. And once you spend on a credit card, it's a done deal. It doesn't have to go through the Board of Commissioners for approval. The bill has to get paid. So we're looking at bringing in a lot of the credit cards that don't necessarily need to be out there. And doing great things. I mean, looking at community involvement, volunteers, bringing volunteers in. One of the things on the agenda today was the baby box, which is going to be a huge thing for our county and at no expense. This is what I think conservative Republicans bring to the office, are these ideas and these approvals, if you will, without going and spending on social programs or whatever our governments are used to spending their money on right now across our nation.
All right. Excellent. We're going to keep it on fiscal responsibility. We're up against a break. We're going to take the break. When we come back, Ron Corn, and Glenn LaFay will be talking more about fiscal responsibility.
Manakay Realty has a new commercial property with over 350 feet of frontage on Highway 95 in Sagal, 3.28 acres and an approved ITD encroachment permit. Business ready with a manufactured home, 3 beds, 2 baths, an outbuilding, barn, and a 40-by-40 shop. 1 Sagal water hookup included, southern exposure and views of Baldy Mountain, $875,000. See the professionals at Manakay Realty, manakayrealty.com.
When looking for the highest standard of HVAC service and care, turn to AGE Heating and Cooling, your locally owned Lennox Premier dealer in Sandpoint. Right now, get up to $1,500 in rebates, or qualified buyers make no payments and incur no interest for 12 months financing a new Lennox system. Plus, receive up to $2,600 in federal tax credits. Call 208-603-2210. Online at ageheatingandcooling.com. Conditions apply. See dealer for details. License number, Idaho HVAC Contractors License Number 059041.
The Forge Artisan Pizza in Sandpoint offers a wide variety of pizza styles. Fresh baked sourdough bread, delicious appetizers, interesting salads, beers on tap, fantastic wines, and canned cocktails. The Forge Pizza makes all of our food in-house and from scratch. We use nothing but organic Italian flour from a small mill outside of Rome, Italy, and local ingredients. The Forge Pizza, 306 Pine Street, open Thursday through Monday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m.
Hello, Don Thomas here with Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, and today I'd like to underline the word glass in our business title. A lot of folks, after entering our showroom with all its beautiful displays, are surprised to hear that we also have a 4,000 square foot shop in the rear of our store. Outside of auto glass, we are a full service glass outlet. The list is long of all the products and services we can offer to the homeowner or builder. We're talking custom mirror and shower glass, interior and exterior glass railing, skylights and deck cover systems, and even simple picture frame glass and ceramic stove glass. And how about those foggy insulated glass panels blocking a clear view out of your home? You will be pleased to learn how easy it is for us to make those windows and patio doors look brand new. I also need to mention that at Selkirk Glass and Cabinets, we're fortunate to have some of our area's most experienced installation and service teams on hand to help make sure that your glass, window, or door project turns out just the way you want it. Building your trust since 2007, it's time to head to Selkirk Glass and Cabinets. That's the place to go.
Aaron Lewis and the State Liners live.
I'm American as it gets.
On the American as it gets tour.
Country boy is all I'll ever be.
Thursday, January 16th at the First Interstate Center. Aaron Lewis and the State Liners.
Am I the only one?
Tickets on sale Friday morning at 10. Get yours at ticketswest.com. Aaron Lewis and the State Liners. Produced by Pepper Entertainment.
North Idaho's radio.
Hey everybody, welcome in. It is Glenn LaFay today and Ron Korn. They are opposing candidates for Bonner County Commissioner seat District 3. Only one of them will be our next commissioner. You guys have the privilege of voting and deciding who will be our county commissioner. And we are talking about, you know, also, folks, I want to thank you for tuning in. I've had just great response to these programs. I thank you for listening. I thank you for taking the election seriously. And you know, I've said this before, I don't have anything against yard signs, but please don't base your vote on yard signs. You need to get a little more information that's included on that little thing there. So anyway, thanks for joining in today. All right, so Glenn LaFay, you had a thought on fiscal responsibility.
Yeah, I got still a few more, but first off, I'd like to say that being a fiscal conservative is not necessarily a Republican thing. I'm an independent, and I'm fiscally conservative. I like to think of myself as fiscally conservative. Now, on that topic, I've heard several different ideas about and concerns discussed about the budget, like the zero-based budgets and whether our existing use-it-or-lose-it is working well. Maybe there needs to be a contingency fund set up, and that way we could put that in within each department. And all the departments are very different in that each other has different needs. In some cases, you've got a lot of heavy equipment that needs repairs, some dependent weather, on the weather and stuff like that. So I think being conservative with our money and actually parlaying that money that exists at the end of the year from each department into like a contingency fund will help with that. You know, and maybe it could be like a two-year program for the contingency fund. And if there is something left over, then push that over into a county fund to where the rest of the departments can pick that money out of if there's a need for that as well. So I think a contingency fund is a great idea instead of that use it or lose it, to where those departments sometimes feel obligated to spend money that they don't need to spend.
All right. One area, real quick, I just want to stay on fiscal one more tick, and that is one area that you think the county is spending money on that you think maybe not eliminated but reduced. Does anything pop in? I'm not looking for anything in particular, anything you've thought about?
I don't know, because I'd have to really take a look at that. That's not something that I've really thought about, but
so
that's
Ron,
a good question.
The same question. I know you've mentioned credit cards. Anything else that you've seen already?
No. With the inflation rates going up the way they are, Barbara, the last in August when they were working on the budgets for fiscal year 2025, they were really having to cut. The county can only raise its budget 3% a year,
right,
by statute. And when our inflation rates are past 10%, all the department heads and the electeds really had to tighten their belts and cut down. Really, the only thing that I can see right now is the credit card spending, which I don't think is a whole lot. We're not talking like $1 million.
Right.
One issue that we have is obviously we just finished that new EMS building across the street from the existing county building. So there's been some expenses there, obviously. That won't be repeated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
And we're looking into doing bulk buying now, which is a great idea. Instead of every department ordering paper and pens and everything, we're actually looking at going back to our old rules that haven't been followed, using a procurement officer. And when we need office supplies and such, going through that so we can buy a pallet of paper instead of
at savings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. So we're making steps forward.
All right. That's excellent. Keeping it with you, Ron, yes or no on Proposition 1?
Definitely no. Big no. For many reasons.
Name one big reason.
Fiscally. You were just talking about fiscally, right? So if we were to get, if we were allowed to let Prop 1 pass, we're looking at Dominion Machines. One of two companies, one of which is Dominion Machines. And we all know how that worked out for us a couple years ago. That is all passed on to the county. The county is going to be liable for those machines and all. And our county clerk says that he will not be able to certify those votes right. if we go to ranked choice voting.
Right.
Impossible. So now we've lost our electoral. It's gone.
Integrity.
There is no integrity.
Accountability.
Right. Yeah. So now we set ourselves up in the state of Idaho to see what a repeat of what we did in 2020 with our national elections.
Same question, Glenn LaFay. Yes or no on Prop 1?
Let's see here. It's a touchy subject for me because I haven't really. I'll get to my decision here in just a sec. But as an independent, I support the idea of open primaries. Now, I understand that's a completely different animal. Unfortunately, the people that propose this have hitched ranked choice voting onto open primaries.
I wonder why.
Yeah. So the two-party system, in my opinion, is broken. You know, that's just the way I feel about it. And I know that there are a lot of people that don't feel that way. But it's been made very clear as an independent, you know, I'm not in the pockets of any PAC or anything like that. No one's supporting me. I've got people, just regular folks coming out here and support me. So, but I digress. Now, as a commissioner,
are you going to vote yes or no on Prop 1?
I'm hedging to no.
Hedging a no?
Hedging to no.
Oh, hedging
I have
to
not,
no.
I was in the process of explaining myself on where I was at.
Okay.
So, I genuinely concerned about the rank choice process. What it means for county, what it means for county staff, the costs, all that are taken into consideration. So as a commissioner, I'm hedging no. Yeah. And it is a process for me right now, but no is where I'm at.
All right. Thank you for that. Keeping it with you, Glenn, are you a City of Sandpoint resident?
I am.
Okay. So are you going to vote yes or no on the local option sales tax that will be on your ballot?
I'll be voting no.
Okay. And Ron, I don't think you're a city resident, are
no,
you?
No, ma'am.
But if you were a city boy, would you vote yes or no? What do you think?
Vote no. There's absolutely no reason, in my opinion, to be raising taxes to do what your county or your city government is supposed to be doing with your property taxes in the first place. The way I understand it is this 1% increase in your taxes are going to go for road improvements and such. If you can't figure out your budget in order to maintain your roads with your normal yearly budget, then I would be looking inwardly and not outwardly.
All right, real good. Glenn, coming back to you, there's probably several things that I have not brought up that are important to you that you haven't had a chance to talk about yet. So here's your chance. Bring up a topic that is important to you.
The new comp plan process right now.
Okay.
That I have an issue with that. The planning department, the planning commission don't have, I feel, the planning credentials to undertake this kind of process right now. Last time this update was done, the county utilized a planning consultant that came in and really reached to the whole county to encourage participation. It was a come one, come all kind of philosophy. What that did is allowed sub-area representatives discuss the needs of those particular areas. Now, Bonner County is a hugely different county depending on where you're at. For example, Blanchard is a very ag-related community, where up north you have Priest Lake, which is a timbered forested community. And then the Selly Valley, we've got ourselves an ag forest area. And then into Clark Fork, you have yourselves the Delta and waterways. So I think this process that we're accepting right now did not do that. Many people were discouraged because of the sub area and the lack of people promoting the sub area groups and the distinct areas of the county who wrote plans previously years ago. There's a lot of information out there that needs to be taken into account for this new comp plan that I think has been neglected and outright ignored in some cases.
What's the timeline on this new? I thought we just finished a cycle, but maybe I'm not up to speed.
Yeah,
what cycle are we in right now? Real quick.
We're in I don't have that answer right now.
Okay.
But I propose, I'm going to go back to saying that I propose that professional planning consultant to come in and kind of review the plan like they did last time.
Okay. So plan with a professional planner. Ron, respond to what Glenn has just brought up. The new comp plan process needs to be done.
Well, it does, but I find it interesting. We're like 30 minutes in this program. It seems like we're talking about all the comp plan stuff. I would like to change the narrative a little bit on that, because the comp plan is not the main thing about county government. There's tons of things that go on within county government that have nothing to do with our comp plan. In my opinion, that is not the number one thing that we should be talking about.
What is it?
Again, it gets back to my passion, liberties and freedoms.
Okay.
Just met recently with the Panhandle Health District, and they have a new director on board, Dr. Fletcher. Great man, great liberty-minded person, and he's going to be actually moving Panhandle Health District into a more liberty-minded organization. Most people don't understand that Panhandle Health District does not answer to anyone. How can we have a government agency that doesn't answer to anyone? They supposedly take their marching orders from DEQ, but you can't get a hold of DEQ and complain when you have a complaint about what they're doing with your septic permit or the such. So we're working on, and I'm working on personally, of getting Panhandle Health language out of our Bonner County building location permit language. The county commissioners are going to be held responsible for what Panhandle Health does. That is not right, because we have no oversight on that department.
So you want to split Panhandle Health between a health department and a building, sewer inspections, well inspections.
County commissioners have no authority over Panhandle Health District. They're their own entity.
That's a legislative change.
Yes, I have no way to split them. What I want to do is separate Bonner County from Panhandle Health District on our building location permits. Right now, Panhandle Health District can hold up a permit for somebody that wants to build a woodshed or a carport because they deem that the septic system on the existing house is not up to current standards. Has nothing to do with the new structure that the person is applying for. That is government overreach at most, and that is what I'm trying to do and trying to accomplish by becoming your elected commissioner.
Okay, let's come back to this issue of DEQ. I think that I can just tell I've got a lot of listeners going saying, well, I didn't know that. So we're going to take a break right now, and we'll come back with this topic.
Sugar Tooth on the Cedar Street Bridge is your one-stop shop for all your sweet needs. Find local chocolates made on-site using ethically sourced cocoa, international candy, drinks, and snacks from more than 10 countries. Sugar Tooth's homemade bestsellers, caramel apple, truffles, Bigfoot bars, and of course the classic pecan turtle. Sugar Tooth has also a variety of vegetarian and vegan-friendly options. Stop by Sugar Tooth's sweet shop on the Cedar Street Bridge. Open 7 days a week.
Autumn weather has arrived. It is beautiful, a little on the chilly side, and a great time to stop by the co-op to check out some new product arrivals, like essential oil lotion and arthritis formula lotion from Two Old Goats. We have Nature's Willow products like Willow Balm, Pain Relief Cream, Bug Bite Balm, and Pain Relief Patch. Over in the housewares, we have a fully stocked crock section, including lids and weights, as well as new crock bowls from Ohio Stoneware. And for those of you seeking the sublime mix of rural life and European quality coffee, try out the London Sip Stovetop Espresso Coffee Maker. We have 3, 6, and 10 cup makers in stock now. See all this and more at the Co-op Gas and Supply Company, 125 Tibbetts Lane in Ponderay, 208-263-6820, and on the web at coopgasandsupply.com.
Those extra pounds aren't just inconvenient, they're dangerous. A ticking time bomb, waiting to explode into diabetes, heart disease, or worse. That's your future, unless you do something about it. Spokane Weight Loss offers a natural program that helps you shed up to a pound of fat every day without restrictive diets or grueling workouts. We focus on the root cause of the issue and remove it. We are not a short-term band-aid on top like the other options available.
After years of dieting, I finally found Spokane Weight Loss, where I lost 48 and a half pounds and 17 inches. I know the secret.
With Spokane Weight Loss, you'll get real results that last. Shed up to 30 pounds in just a month. Thyroid, hormonal, or autoimmune issues making it tougher? Our program gets to the root cause of weight loss resistance and targets your health overall. So you not only lose weight fast, your other health conditions will improve as well. Diffuse that ticking time bomb before it's too late. Call Spokane Weight Loss now at 509-486-7868. At 509-486-7868. 509-486-7868. Or visit SpokaneWeightLoss.com.
Bridge Transmission and Performance, formerly BF Quick Lube, has new owners and new services, offering transmission repair, manual and automatic, U-joints, clutches, differentials, custom upgrades, transfer cases, and transmission services. Call for an appointment, 267-7481, or just stop in. Your go-to mechanic in Bonner's Ferry for everything from oil changes to transmission repair. Get a free diagnostic at Red's Transmission and Performance, 6878 Main Street in Bonner's Ferry.
News Talk 97.1.
Hey, everybody, welcome in. We are talking today with Glenn LaFay, Independent, Ron Korn, Republican. They are opposing candidates for Bonner County Commissioner District 3. One of them will be our commissioner. So we were just talking, Ron, with you about, you know, what else you want to talk about that's important in the county. You brought up Panhandle Health and its sphere of influence as it pertains to liberties and freedoms and other things. Do you want to introduce another topic that's important to you on county business?
I would like to expand real quickly, if I could, on Panhandle Health. With Dr. Fletcher being the new director here locally, he's got some great ideas, and it's very liberty and freedom-minded. He is wanting to make sure that from now on in the future, when we get these notices of the next COVID outbreak or whatever it is, that it's actually vetted through our local Panhandle Health before it gets pushed out. Mm-hmm. They're not going to answer to the WHO. They're not going to answer to our federal health systems. They're actually going to take it upon themselves to make sure that the information is correct before it gets put out to the people, which I 100% support. We're getting the fear-mongering. We know that masks don't work. We talk about the science of stuff. The science doesn't work. You look at these people in these labs dealing with this virus, and they're wearing positive pressure suits when they're telling you and me that we got to go down to Harbor Freight and buy a paper mask to save our grandparents. It's a bunch of lies. So I'm glad to see this moving in the direction, the government overreach again. I think most people would agree that our medical freedoms are so important.
Okay, excellent. Glenn LaFay, coming to you on Panhandle Health District, what are your comments?
Well, first of all, I'd like to respond to what Ron said about getting back to freedoms and liberty and things like that. Of course. I mean, that's something that is of concern for everybody, I would think. But as being a person that's on the street and listening to the people and kind of saying that the comp plan is not important, I don't know if he necessarily said that, but focusing on the comp plan, that's what I hear more than anything else from anybody else, is what's going on with our properties, with the development that's going on. People want to see it slow down. So that's it. Now, as far as Panhandle Health, I'm kind of in the dark with that. And I wish I had a concrete answer for you, and that's something that I'll look into. I think when I get in there and start, if I get in there, then that is something that I'll definitely look into. I mean, once you get in there, you get more of a tactile feel for what's going on in that seat. So Ron has definitely got a little bit of an insight, more so than I would. I was running against Ron Korn, the candidate. Now I'm running against Rod Corn, the incumbent. So
3 weeks.
Well, 3 week incumbent. Yeah, I mean, that's a head start in a lot of cases.
Well, let me keep it with you then. We've talked about the comp plan. We've talked about Liberty Freedom, Panhandle Health District, COVID, those kinds of issues. Is there another issue that is important to you that we haven't talked about yet, or maybe we have and you want to repeat yourself? That's
the transparency of the board, I think, is very important.
What is that going to look like?
Well, I think they're doing a good job right now. I think that looks like what we want to do is let people have the public comment the 20 minutes before the beginning of the meeting, I think is a great idea. Allow for comment before each agenda item. So the people can do that, and also remove that long-winded oppressive standing rules that was introduced, you know, previous administration. That should have been taken care of right off the get-go, but it hasn't been yet. Require the sign-in via Zoom by 9 a.m. And the city of Sandpoint does have a pretty good system for that. And we could use that example. And just basically listen to the people of Bonner County a little bit more, put your ear to the ground and see what they're having to say.
All right. Any comments on, you know, public attendance, public input? Ron Corn.
So I think if you or any of your listeners have been watching the meetings lately and have watched any of the meetings in the past year and a half, I think they would all agree on one thing, is that the decorum and the professionalism is 110% above what it used to be. On my very second day of being appointed in office, I was proud to vote on restoring the people's First Amendment rights, bringing back what Glenn was talking about, bringing back your freedom of speech on each agendized item. So that is no longer an issue. That was accomplished on the second day in office. So yes, he says that I have an advantage because I've been in these meetings and he hasn't. I want to make it very clear that all these meetings I speak of are and have been public meetings. Anyone from the public can attend these if you're interested in learning more about your local government. I would ask the people to participate more. Sometimes it seems boring, but that's how you're going to learn the inner workings of your local government, is by actually participating, not just only in the Tuesday business meetings, but also on all the other meetings that take place. We average about 3 meetings a day that most people don't realize.
A quick question. We're winding down here, so quick answers, please, gentlemen. In speaking with our state Senate candidates about law enforcement, the issue of wages came up, recognizing that wages are set within the county for budget like our sheriff. So wages are an issue for our law enforcement. Glenn, the first one to you, what, if anything, would you adjust or do you support with regard to wages for our county sheriff deputies?
Well, the deputies do, you know, hard work for sure. And for us, in order for us to compete with the surrounding counties, I mean, we've got to really consider about how to get the wages up.
So you take a look at. Same question to you, Ron Corn, real quick.
So I've actually talked to some of the deputies, and of course, you know, everybody wants to be paid more, right? That's just the nature of the beast, if you will. But they do feel that they are pretty fairly compensated right now. The thing that offsets the pay, Bonner County versus Kootenai County per se, is our lifestyle here. People would rather live here. Not everybody, obviously, but there's a lifestyle change in that. By living in Bonner County, you have a little more ruralness going on than you do living in the city of Coeur d'Alene, and that is a little bit of a trade-off. Our cops don't make as much money as California, but look at the lifestyle difference.
Right. Coming back to you, Glenn LaFay, what about, I did a whole series on law enforcement several months ago, and I was so privileged to talk to our EMS manager and dispatchers. Anything in that area, boy, when I talked to them, they had some really good ideas. Anything like that has crossed your desk on what you might consider as county commissioner?
No, there really hasn't. I mean, I haven't heard anything about it, okay. But it is a very, very, I'm very concerned about it as well.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Thank you for that. Anything, Ron, that's come up yet for you? I know the new EMS building, but.
Could you repeat that real quick?
In talking with EMS and our dispatchers, there were some issues that they had. I don't know whether it was all wages or their participation.
No, I'm equipment. Don't have anything to offer there. I'm not aware of anything.
All right, well, let's say goodbye then. It's time to say goodbye. 30 seconds, Ron Koren.
So I just want to say thank you to you and your listeners for putting up with more political stuff in this season. I would hope that the voters get out there and educate themselves a little bit on who you're going to vote for. I am not a one-issue candidate. I'm looking at all the issues. There's a lot more out there than just planning and zoning. It is a hot topic. Mm-hmm. But look at the candidates. Look at who they are. And please vote for Ron Koren, Bonner County Commissioner, District 3.
We are winding down, Glenn LeFay.
Hey, I'd be honored to have your vote, everybody. On November 5th. I'm not part of the Good Old Boys Club. I'm not part of the Pocket Any Special Interests. Vote Glenn LeFay. And thanks very much, Barbara.
All right. Thank you, you guys. We're down to it. Thanks for being here today. Listeners, thanks for being here. Next week is a doubleheader for me. Monday, Sandpoint Mayor Jeremy Grin speaking to you. And on Tuesday, another head-to-head election special. Until next week, slow down, take care of yourself, and God bless you.